step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, along with the Heavy Metal Rebel, Frankie Kazarian, and the Violent Delight, Scorpio Sky.
Collectively known as SoCal Uncensored, or SCU.
And this is the worst podcast I've ever been on. That's Casio's cut, y'all.
What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you doing? You listening to another edition of Casio's Cut?
Hey, kid, look at me. Let's burn down the school with gasoline. Say, hell yeah. Jams like the MC5. That's the way I wanna be. I'll be a white trash superstar. That's the way I wanna be. I'll be a white trash superstar.
Joined by my special guest, wrestler extraordinaire Corey Hollis. What's up, buddy?
Wow. Not much, man. How are you?
Great jacket.
Thanks. I got an orange shirt on under it too, or a Brainbuster shirt on. Under
yeah.
It
yeah. What'd I go with? I got the Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
Oh, I've never had it. Everybody puts it over, but I've never had it.
Yeah, it's the place. It's the best. Yeah. Definitely hit it up. All right, we got a lot to do. If you don't know Corey, you're about to get a crash course. You are a wrestler, and you are from Alabama. So that's yep. Where we get the tie-in together.
Yeah, yeah. And our crazy mutual friends. It's just something I always wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. I was 8 years old, and my dad turned on Nitro. And from then on, it was strictly wrestling 24/7 for me. I was hooked right then and there. there was nothing else that really interested me growing up. It wasn't any like athletic sports or anything. Like football really didn't amuse me. Basketball, none of that did. I did collegiate wrestling or amateur wrestling in high school, but I did that just, you know, for the basics to when I eventually trained to be a pro wrestler. So, but yeah, ever since then, it's been nonstop wrestling.
And then what? You just sling yourself into indie shows when you get an on off? What are you doing? How are you going? How are you gonna get in the business?
Well, I was hanging with some friends from Leeds, Alabama, and across the street there was like these, you know, interesting people that were doing backyard wrestling. And I was like, you know, why not? And they had like the trampoline, and they had like a little rail on top of it. So I tried to do like springboards and stuff and all that. And then one day they rented a ring from a guy named Will Owens. And I went there and, you know, rolled around, paid like $200 for the day or something like that, and just like learn how to bump and like the simple stuff. And then Will wanted to run a whole spot where I would do the whole AJ leapfrog, drop down, drop kick. And then he was like, do a crossbody off the top rope. I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. It's like, did it. And then right off from there, I trained for a whole year, learned basics, really learned how to, you know, really put a match together more so than learning how to do all the cool, crazy spots that, you know, you don't really see me do anyways. But trained for about a year till I had my first match in 2009 against a guy named Jesse Emerson.
Jesse Emerson.
Yeah. You remember that name?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. He lived in Birmingham, but he did a lot of the, North Alabama shows. I think he did some things with, in Indianapolis as well. And a lot of stuff in Tennessee. So, yeah, but as I was coming in, he was kind of like getting out because he was in law school and all that.
So you have your first match. Does that feed the beast or does that?
Not really. Like, I mean, it was great. And it, you know, it, you know, just wanted me to do more. And then the second week I wrestled Mike Posey for the first out of 8 million times. And
I was about to say, you've had a long history with him.
And tore my meniscus. And
second match?
Second match, tore my meniscus the first time. And then Dr. Dugas, who works with Andrew, stitched it together. And then I got to go to WrestleMania that year in was it Dallas? Yeah, no, not Dallas, Houston. And got to sit in the skybox before the Shawn and Undertaker match, which was really cool.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like sitting maybe 5 feet from Ric Flair during that match. And the one thing I remember from that, and it was like the week before I went to go have my surgery, is he stands up after that Undertaker Shawn match, which was probably the greatest WrestleMania match that is still talked about, you know, 11, 12 years later. Mm-hmm. And he gives it a standing ovation. After he did it, everybody in the skybox did. And I was just like, that's like just the coolest thing in the world, you know?
Yeah. So, to get respect from your peers and your guys who came before you, that's freaking sweet.
Yeah, it was cool to see him do that, and it was just watching, because that match was unbelievable good. Like, that's a match probably I watch at least once a month, just trying to learn something new. Yeah, I love that match. That's one of my top favorite matches, especially since I was there live. And that was one of those, you know, moments that always sticks in my mind. I remember the entrance and everything about it. I remember the Taker dropping on his head because the camera guy spot and all that, and the whole finish with the moonsault, Taker catching him, the tombstone. Always loved that. That was just such a, they did all the cool stuff that everybody loves, but they did it right. They did everything they did was intense, and they told a story, and you know, which is the lost art in today's world. But you know, it was fun. It was good.
Get to it, but you know, you've had some AEW matches now. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my questions, and you brought it up, so I'll just go ahead and ask it now. They mentioned on the broadcast that you're, quote, an old school guy, you want the old school way, Ricky Morton's your idol. Is that all them just making stuff up?
No, that's not making beforehand? Stuff up. Well, yeah, that was feeding them stuff, but like I don't think it was Ricky. I was kind of mentored by Robert Gibson, and that's because he mentored Will Owens, and I got to know Robert and Ricky. But I have more of a closer relationship with Robert than I do Ricky. I love them both, but yeah. And I think a lot of that too comes with the fact that I'm good friends with, you know, FTR. You know, me and Cash have a long history of, you know, wrestling each other in Georgia and in the Carolinas and stuff. And actually Dax was my first NXT match. You know, I have a long history with them, and we both, like all three of us and, you know, a few of us more, all just think about the same of how the business is and how it should be. And that's what we, you know, grew up watching, was great storytelling wrestling.
I spent a day with Ricky and Robert at Starcast. Mm-hmm. And just to hear them tell stories, one, just to see how many of the other talent of the other wrestlers come up to them that don't even know them yet and just say, hey, I want to introduce myself, you guys, legends. And then those guys are some, let's see, they seem like fun guys.
They are. I've been on a couple of road trips with Robert, and He tells the same stories every single time about being in the amusement park with Ricky, and you know, how they closed it down for him and Ricky because there were so many girls trying to get to him and all this other stuff. I love those guys. They're a lost breed in wrestling, which is needed more guys to, and they want to give back. They want to teach. They want the business to succeed, and they want it to grow, and they want it to have the respect and that goes along with it as well. And to continue that respect after they're gone. So
and still wrestling.
Yeah. They're crazy. And they still go. And they can still go. And, you know, they still get the biggest reactions out of anybody else the whole night.
They're going destroyers off the top rope. Just a couple of weeks ago. I saw
the one Ricky did over the weekend with the son. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, good grief. Good grief.
All right. You brought them up. Let's go ahead and mention them. FTR. Mm-hmm. You knew him before that, of course, but talk about coming up with those guys. Those really are, they fit right in with that mold of old school wrestlers and having that mindset.
And like I said, I think it's because, like, we get along so well and mesh so well together is because we all vision wrestling the same. You know, we live, breathe, eat, sleep, wake, go to bed watching wrestling, wake up watching wrestling. It's all we talk about. It's all we think about. You know, us, John Skyler, you know, Jackson Riker, you know, a bunch of those. Like, I feel like I was like an adoptive Carolina guy, especially when I started branching out of Alabama. Like, I was adopted by all the Carolinians. And and I got, you know, and they're a little bit more seasoned than me. They've wrestled longer than me, but I think we all envision the business to be the exact same and what it should be and everything else, and giving back and just having a respect for something that we all love.
How are you? Were you always a shithill when you were with them? When I first saw you, you were a super shithill.
Yeah. Where was that at?
First time I ever saw you in person was at the tournament in Chattanooga.
Oh, is that where I laid there forever?
You were talking a lot of smack.
I mean, I guess the Scenic City in Chattanooga. Yeah, I think a lot of that came from when I first started tagging with like Adam Page. You know, we were both like young guys. He was already signed to Ring of Honor, and I was doing a little bit with Ring of Honor, and we were just trying to do that style, you know. And then, but like within that style, we were trying to do make sense out of all the cool stuff, and like that's what I was talking about earlier with like Shawn and Taker. They did so much cool stuff, but they did it in a right way with storytelling and selling, but they also had a purpose. Intensity. Yeah. They didn't look like they were just throwing things for just the sake of throwing things. Everything they did, there was no wasted movement in it. I think just being around them, and especially like I'm more closer to Cash. He was going to Japan and Europe and stuff like that a lot. And working with him, it really upped my game just because of the simple fact of everything he wanted to do was smooth, crisp, not only that mechanically, but also thinking five steps ahead of how the crowd is going to react to what we're doing. And I think what really turned the whole heel act on for me was realizing that there was not a lot of guys on independence really doing it. Especially at like my age, my stature and everything else, because most guys my size, they're out there doing all the flips and stuff. I think for me was, okay, what's going to make me be one of the top echelon guys, and what's going to make me a top act? What's going to make me different from everybody else? That's going to be, you know, just being a heel. Like that's what, you know, the places we were at, that's what they were missing, was a real genuine heel that wasn't necessarily a heel on when that red light was on, but also a heel just in general. And that's why you wouldn't see me befriend with the fans and, you know, thanking the guy on Twitter after I wrestled him. Oh, such a great match, you know, or posting pictures with him or anything. It's because, like, I feel like when you really want to make that work, you have to be 100% in, and you have to commit fully or it's not going to work, because people will see through that. And that's why I think no matter what I do as a heel with my act now, and it took me a while to really, you know, get to, you know, that stature of everything. I think the reason it works is because I only allow them to see what I want them to see, you know?
First saw you and then started following you on Twitter and everything, you're nothing but shit talking.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing is like, how many more, and people say, oh, well, you can't really be like that. It's a different time than it was in the 80s and early 90s. It's like, money still is the same, you know, like drawing money is still drawing money. And
MJF is always constant heel.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And if you think about it, you know, there's got to be someone to make the stars. And if you're not making the stars, who's going to get elevated? And that's the thing that's, I think, is lost in today's sport right now, especially on the independent circuit. And I think that becomes because there's not a lot of guys to help lead. And there's not a lot of guys to help groom the next generation, because a lot of guys haven't been to a certain spot in their career or whatnot. And it sucks for someone like me being someone that is in these locker rooms, and I still need to be groomed and everything else, but I have really no one to go to because I'm the guy that everybody wants to come to for advice, not necessarily have to come to for advice or whatnot, but I'm the guy that's, you know, been to all these places and done all these cool things. And yeah, but I'm still in the, on the independent scene, which isn't a bad thing at all. Don't get me wrong by that.
Right.
But I also think if I'm ever going to make it to the next level, I have to be groomed to be in that next level at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So his first big break, Ring of Honor.
Yeah. It was like my first year in, it was in Louisville when they were still, they weren't bought by Sinclair yet. Kerry Silkin still owned it, and they were still on, like, what was that channel? It wasn't Fight Network. It wasn't, I can't remember. It was a, but it was at OVW 2010. Yeah. It was me and Posey versus Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And I remember the match before us, they went way long, and we had like a 7-minute segment and it got cut down to 3. And so as a 20-year-old kid, first year in the business and everything, and you know, it's like, holy crap, what do? I want to get all my cool stuff in. But at the end of the day, which I learned from that, was not going to be able to. So we rolled with the punches, and then I, you know, kept getting opportunities when they were in the Southeast region for the most part. And then when Sinclair balled, I got to do a little bit more and, you know, go up to New York with them, got to wrestle in the Hammerstein Ballroom, nice. sold out on WrestleMania weekend. And then the next night we did TV in the Manhattan Center, you know, which was really, really cool. Yeah. So it was super cool. It was, so yeah, I've got to do a lot of cool stuff with Ring of Honor as well. And then, got to be in the Top Prospect tournament, and I got a lot of great friendships from my time there, you know, with guys like Hangman Page and Cedric and Kevin Kelly and others. So, you know, and Grizzly Redwood, you know, so it was a great time for me. I enjoyed it, especially when I was doing NXT and Ring of Honor all at the same time. So that was fun.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know the name of Grizzly Redwood, but it is an awesome name.
Yeah. He's shorter than me, believe it or not. If it was possible, but yeah, he's a good dude. So,
is that where you meet Adam? Cause you end up tagging with him down the road.
Yeah. I met him in PWX at a show in North Carolina. And they threw me, him and Gallows together, and we formed Country Jacked. And then Gallows went to New Japan, joined the Bullet Club. Who would have thought? No. Or, I mean, why would he do that? And so, then me and Adam started tagging. And then at the time when, we had about 2-3 year run. And then at that time I was doing NXT a lot on a consistent basis. He got picked up to go to New Japan and join Bullet Club. And so then I turned on him, and, you know, he went on and became the huge humongous star that he is today, having his action figure in Walmart's. Just random. It's just so weird to me.
Do you have an autographed Adam Hangman Page? Come on.
I
do not.
He don't love me that much anymore. I'm just kidding. But I don't have one. I do not have one. But nah, I talked to him probably about, you know, a couple times a week. You know, but we really don't even talk about wrestling that much anymore. We just talk about our family and, you know, how he's doing up there, especially with, the whole pandemic and everything, and, him driving to Jacksonville, which is like a 7-hour drive for him all the time. So
we'll get to the AEW bubble in a second, but you mentioned you're tagging with Adam, Splitsville. You are now, like you said, getting a lot of time with NXT. How does that call go down? How are you getting approached by NXT and getting in there?
Well, it was 2015. It was like October 2015. Me and my friend John Schuyler, who everybody might know, we were the Bruiserweights. We get a text from Cash saying, "Hey, send me some pictures and your email real quick." And we sent them to him, and he, 2 minutes later, we got an email from John Cone saying, "Hey, can you be in Orlando this week?" Of course, no matter, like 2 days advance, of course we'll be there. Nice. So they needed a team to put over the Revival because they were winning the tag titles that week as well. So they needed a team the next week to, you know, make them look really good. And we had about a 6-minute match. And then from there, it became like a thing where we were just going pretty much once or twice a month for almost a year and a half. So, wow. Yeah, it was pretty fun. And at that time there was weekends where, we were doing Raw and SmackDown, and then they would tell us at Raw and SmackDown, hey, can you be in Orlando this week for NXT? So we would drive from, well, I remember one time we drove from Knoxville to Orlando. Then I had to be at Ring of Honor the very next day in Nashville. And so we drove to Orlando, then all the way up to Nashville. And then we would have like a couple of days, and they're like, hey, can you be at Raw in Greensboro? And we're like, we'll be there no matter what. And so, yeah, we got to do a lot of pretty cool stuff with that. And then they gave us some cool opportunities, booked us for WrestleMania weekend in Dallas, which was a real fun time. Got to do the whole WrestleMania access thing, got to actually wrestle on WrestleMania Sunday, which was really cool. But it was like at 8:30 in the morning. But we were like the Vaudevillains' last match before they were called up, which was fun.
That's killer.
Yeah. And they, you know, they gave us time and let us just go out there and have fun. And then that also same week we got to do some house shows, which was also really cool. And so, and then there was talks at a Cruiserweight Classic, and then, we were told, you know, hey, there might be an opportunity for you. And then they went more with an international feel with that, which is fine. That's how the business rolls.
Let's talk about a couple. I mean, you've had plenty of appearances for them, but, a couple of them, one, you're in there with Braun Solo, and you get to come out and you do this whole spiel of they interview in ring on why you would face Braun, and you tell them it's 1,000 to show and 5,000 to win.
Yeah, exactly. And that was fun. It was cause that was right early in Braun's push and everything, and it was a simple, you know, simple segment, easy. They were like, well, you can change up anything you really want to, as long as it's staying with the, you know, staying within what we need you to say and all that. Even if you want to talk like Forrest Gump. And I was like, okay, if I, you know, I can do a Forrest Gump voice if you really need me to, but do I really want to be the guy known as Forrest Gump in the Indies? You know, yeah, I am from Alabama and everything.
So. No, that's what they were trying to put on.
Exactly. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, Braun's a really cool dude, and I'm happy for him where he is, and he seems very happy where he is in the business and everything, and especially, you know, having all that pressure. I'm sure he was very, you know, nervous and hands-on with what had to be done and what they wanted and everything, so that was really cool to be a part of that, because they showed me in, like, video packages for, like, a year taking that move.
He tossed you, dude.
Yeah.
That was a big toss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That where he billed me, I was like, holy crap. So, that was fun, though. It was worth it.
All right. Another one that caught my eye is now they've got you tagging with your boy Sky again.
Yeah.
Now, here's the best part. You're against Shining Stars. And they're saying your local athletes from North Carolina, because you're in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they've changed your name. Mm-hmm. What was it? Anderholm?
No, that was the one with Braun.
Anderholm was Braun.
Yeah. I think it was like something Kennedy. Brian Kennedy. Yeah. And I forgot what John's name was.
My favorite part is that they do this whole bit about your local North Carolina athletes, you're in North Carolina. Shining Stars are coming out.
And then
I realized your gear is still Corey Hollis and Skyler. Yeah.
What's
happening?
Well, the funny thing about that was when the next day at SmackDown, the writer for one of the main writers was like, just so you know, y'all got a lot of talk on Twitter about y'all's stuff. And it was because they changed your name. Did anybody tell y'all they were changing y'all's name? We're like, no, we had no idea. like Lillian came up to us and was like, hey, just so you know, we're probably not going to announce y'all. But if we do, if y'all do have an entrance, because things change all the time there. Because at one time at NXT, we had an entrance, then we didn't have an entrance, then we had an entrance, then we didn't have an entrance. It changed like 6 times. As we were going out, they're like, go through this curtain. Nope. Actually, you go into the ramp. Actually, no, you've got to go this side. So we kind of had like a mixture of both where we went out the side curtain, then they're like, jump on the ramp. So we jumped on the ramp and then did our thing. But Lillian asked for our names and everything. And we told her Corey Hollis, John Skyler. And then when we get to the back, and of course our phones are blowing up and everything. And John goes, they changed our name. So I was like, what? He goes, did anybody tell you that they were going to? I was like, oh, no. But the funny thing about all that was, and I feel bad for them because, you know, for Primo and Epico, but they were saying they were talking about us more than they were talking about the guys that we're trying to get over. Yeah, and that's because, right. And also too, we were on NXT the week before us, Corey Hollis and John Skyler. And somebody very, very high up came up to us and said, hey, did y'all know they were going to change your name? We're like, nope. And he's like, don't let them do that. And I was like, okay. Don't let them do like, we're the people to say that. Yeah. Like, we're the people to say that. So yeah, it was interesting to say the least. We worked the Shining Stars. I think it was like May of 2016. And then I was wrestling Braun at the end of July or beginning of August of 2016 with a completely different name, with the same look and everything. So it's just, I don't think like they realized or anything. I think that's what it is too. There's just so much going on TV days, and it's so chaotic. I'm sure you've heard and how everything's changing last minute and everything. Is just the nature of the business. And sometimes they tell you these things and sometimes they just forget to tell you. And it just happens.
Overall time with NXT, good.
I loved it. You never say never in wrestling. I don't think I was mature enough in my act and ready, because especially if I would have got signed with, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic guys that crop in 205, I would have been a guy maybe with a job, but also at the same time, the way I was, and me and John both were, we were kind of like, you know, we kind of looked like the Revival. We kind of acted like the Revival. We kind of worked like the Revival. So I think if that opportunity came to us then and there, we could have easily fell to the wayside, and because they don't need another shorter Revival act. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I would have been just a guy in catering, and that would make me depressed. And that's the thing, you know, you strive in this business. You always want to be creative, and you're always thinking about the next thing that you can do. And you're always thinking about the next show. And if I was just a guy just sitting in catering every week, I'd be, holy crap, you know, it wouldn't be very happy. You know, would have that dream job. And then you would hear about, you know, how these guys get and everything. But I would, like, I'm a guy that I want to work for my money. I don't want to just show up and collect a paycheck. I want to be there. I want to earn my money and everything. And I don't think that was the right time for me. And I think now where I am out in life, not just in my career, but where I'm at in life, I think if that opportunity was to come now, I'm 100% ready for it.
Let's talk about the other side. AEW, we've mentioned it a little bit. How many matches have you had there? Three
or four, I want to say.
I know you got Scorpio Sky. It was a great match. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought it put you over really well.
Yeah, that match was really, really fun, and I got to have a lot of input in it too. And it also depends too. They tape Dark literally right after they do Dynamite, and sometimes there's 8 matches, sometimes there's 16 matches, and then you're going out there all the way till 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're like dead tired, you know. But the match with Scorpio was a lot of fun. Wasn't happy where I was, like, physically, but you know. That's all it was to change that gear for me to get back on track with all that. And I think now if the opportunity was to come, I'd be 100% ready for that as well. But yeah, got to have a lot of, you know, time hanging around, because there's a lot of people there that I've already worked with on the indies or actually in NXT and whatnot. So there's a lot of folks there that I know, and a lot of guys I've already had great matches with. They just haven't been seen on a global scale.
Right. You've also, so right now, I mean, everything's fantastic.
Yeah.
You're on fantastic ground with AEW.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's just like right now, me and my wife, we just, bought a house. You know, we got some things coming in August.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But you know, right now I want to be home, you know, with her. I don't want to be too far away from her. And, but when the time's right, I'm more than ready. And it's just getting there.
You were there. No, you were there in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
How weird was that going into, we got to get down there, we got to get in the bubble, and now we're wrestling, yeah, and, you know, only facing one way. Were they letting crowds in yet, or was it still just the...
No, I think the very first, the first time I was there, it was the first week of them doing it in Jacksonville with no crowd or anything.
It was right out of the gate there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't testing yet because it was the first week and it wasn't, we didn't know as much as we do now about it. And, so I, like, I flew to Orlando and I stayed with Cash and then I drove his car to Jacksonville. They pretty, you know, they let us change into the locker room normal and everything. And then I just drove back to Orlando to his house. The second and third time, get down there, you got to get tested and all that, get the finger prick, which is no biggie for me being diabetic. I prick my finger like 8 times a day. And so, we do that. And then now it's, you know, now what we know with COVID, it is more strict and everything, which is trying to keep everybody healthier and everything. And now right when the last time I was there was August, and that's when they were letting crowds back in, very limited though. So,
how is that feeling when you're first down there with no crowds? Is that,
kills your adrenaline, you know?
I was about to say, you're excited. Hey, I'm getting an AEW match, but yeah, I got nothing to feed off of.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we live off of, is feet reacting.
Yeah.
This is what makes this business great, is reacting to the audience. Even, you know, with the confines of television and everything, and you have to do things a certain way, but also at the same time, that adrenaline of that roar of that audience, that's what keeps you going and keeps you, and especially like I said earlier, 11 o'clock at night, no crowd, you know, you're already, you've been there all day, you're mentally drained, tired and all that, but also at the same time, it's a great opportunity. So like, how do you maximize that? You just kind of like, for me, I always try to think about what the commentary would say in between the things that I do, you know, and that's kind of like what helped me, like, especially with the times with no audience. And then they started letting wrestlers, you know, be on the side, and that kind of helped. And it was like, it's kind of like weird, because it was kind of like doing like school matches or seminar matches, which I've done plenty of, but it was just, it's still eerie. But, you know, I can't wait to the day that we can just have crowds and everything and just go all out again.
I've talked about it before on a couple other podcasts and talking with people. It also, I mean, for you guys, those are moments. Those are big moments. There's so many guys in the AEW that had their debut with no crowd.
Yeah.
Hardy, Brody. Harper.
Yeah.
All these guys. And you go, how loud would that arena have been if there was, you know, and it's just that moment that kind of go, you know, it's still got to be a fun moment for you. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like the first Ring of Honor match. It's not like the first NXT match. It's totally different. And it's a totally different world that we're living in right now. And it's like, really, what can you really do? And at the time, there was no independent shows at all.
Yeah.
And right now, there's really not really any really going on. And you wanted to get work. You didn't want to get rusty or anything. So, you know, you just took it, and then, you know, hopefully it led to something. And I got to go back a couple more times. It's just for my own benefit right now. It's not something I want to go do exactly right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not something I'm pursuing. Hey, can I come this week? Hey, can I come this week? Hey, can I come this week? Just because I got life responsibilities right now, you know? So, you know, but I know that opportunity will happen again, and that door will open for me. And hopefully at that time we will have crowds, and, you know, it'll be better for everyone involved. And I think that helps guys too that are trying to get a look, especially, you know, that's how the company is going to be like, okay, the crowd likes him. Okay, we'll give him an opportunity, you know, to roll with some things, you know, and with no crowd, it's really hard to gauge, hey, is this guy going to be, you know, someone we can invest in, or is this, you know, just the guy that we can bring in every now and then?
Well, that's part of that, what you're talking about in WWE and NXT, about it changing all the time. Part of that is they see a match and they go, oh, they're not cheering like we thought they would cheer.
Yeah, exactly.
Not backing the guy we thought we were backing. So mm-hmm. they, you know, that you change things. So yeah, that, I mean, that is part of wrestling, is the fan interaction.
And it's also too, it's a lot of like, you know, everybody has different flavors of ice cream when it comes to things like that. And it's exactly, what do you need right then and there? What is the need that you need for your company right then and there?
Yeah.
I think that's something that I've learned too, with like helping with like creative things as well, is like, what does this company need? What's going to be better for this company moving forward, rather than, okay, we can sign this guy, but is this the right time for him? You know? And I think that's the thing too, is like, the biggest perception in wrestling right now, or not the biggest missed thing in wrestling right now, is where's all the, and I don't mean this against anybody, but who is bigger than any company? Who's bigger than any brand right now? Everybody is on equal playing field. Right. When that happens, you know, how long can you go to see the circus? You know, we've talked about that before. It's like, if there's no major, major superstar, what's really drawing in the company rather than the experience?
Yeah. You know?
And so like that's the thing too, that I think is really missing within the whole industry. It's not just one company or the other. It's just the whole grand scheme of things.
Yeah. That's part of what, well, everybody is having to figure out how to adapt and move on during this thing and figure out how we get to the other side of it. You also, look, you've been in the ring with everybody. You also have mm-hmm. a few trivia moments. One, you tell us about your trivia moment with Undertaker.
Okay, so that's pretty fun. It was kind of a big rib on us too. So that was one of the times they called us like the day before, hey, can you be in Greensboro? So that was at the time I was living in Kennesaw, but me and my wife were driving to Birmingham. I don't know if we were looking at apartments or whatnot at the time, but I was like, okay, go there, drive back home, drive to South Carolina to get a couple hours of sleep, and then drive up to Greensboro. So we get there, they're like, hey, you're going to be Druids for the Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, you know? And so we're dressed head to toe, but we have these sheet masks on too, because we're the ones that turned on Undertaker and Kane and joined the Wyatt family. So we get there about 3 o'clock. They dress us up, and we had the head to toe bodysuits. You know what I'm talking about? The whole spandex thing. It was all over our head. Like, we couldn't unzip it. If you were claustrophobic, it was over for you. And so we're in that for hours. Thankfully, we're the first segment. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Lights went out, got to turn around, put the Wyatt masks on, the sheet mask, and get in the ring and take a choke slam from Kane, which was pretty fun. So yeah. So got to be one of the last Druids ever, which was pretty cool.
That's a cool little moment.
The paycheck on the pay stub said Undertaker bonus. So that's something.
Undertaker bonus.
It said Undertaker bonus. And I said, this is the coolest thing ever.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Also trivia, you are last indie match for AJ Styles.
Yep. Yep. Yes, I am.
How did this come about? Do you know going in?
Yeah. Well, I kind of like pulled my strings the best way I could to make sure I was.
All right.
This was about 2016. The match was actually 2 weeks after he joined the Rumble, or was joined the WWE and was in the Rumble. They still let him honor the match. And I think that was partly too, the fact that I was doing WWE stuff at the time. And,
okay.
So I think they knew, hey, he's going to be taken care of. And so, AJ is kind of like a mentor to me. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. Anybody that knows me knows the way I kind of move in the ring, and I pattern a little bit of that off of AJ. People will probably say more than just a little. but that was my ultimate dream match, man, and it was the coolest.
You had never worked with him before?
I did a tag match with him, like right when he left TNA, but it was the first time doing one-on-one, and he was the person that gave me the confidence to become a professional wrestler. I remember I was like 12 or 13. I ordered a TNA pay-per-view, then got yelled at by my granddad for ordering it. But the first time I ever saw him, I was like, if he can do it, and he's got that Southern accent, and he's short, he's not big, and he's from Alabama or from Georgia, I can do this too. You know what I mean? And so that kind of, And so I've always looked up to him, and he's been such a great dude to help me out and everything. And so that was the match I tore my meniscus the second time in, and didn't realize it till after the match. And then my first match back was WrestleMania Access. But yeah, it was super cool. It's a real moment. My mom was there. AJ told her some things that made her cry in a good way.
Nice.
And so, but yeah, that was a very special moment that I really hold, you know, dear to me, because, you know, getting to wrestle your hero, and especially it being his last independent match, and it's going to probably be ever, you know, and being able to be that guy. And, you know, he didn't have to do it. He could have signed with WWE and just done the house show, you know, but he wrestled me. And then the next night was his first house show match. And so,
killer.
Yeah. So that was super cool. And I'm super honored to have that moment.
I mean, if you had to box one up for the Corey Hollis, Hollis? Is that it? Or is there another one?
Man, I don't know. I think, cause like that's the little boy in me, man. That was it, you know, like,
yeah.
To some people, that's their Shawn Michaels, you know, like that's my Shawn Michaels, you know, that's my Ric Flair is AJ, you know? So that's so cool. I think anything that could really top that to me would be able to do it on a grander stage. And,
yeah.
Who knows if that would happen? I mean, that's, you know, that's in God's hands, but also at the same time, it's the coolest experience that I've got to have so far. And this is coming from somebody that's been on every television show, but I wrestled AJ in a small town gym, in middle of nowhere, Georgia, you know what I mean? In front of only 500 people.
That speaks volume.
You know what I mean? And that's the coolest thing to me. And it's just being able to, and you know, him being happy with everything, him being proud of it and everything. And having that friendship, and he's someone I could go to now and say, hey, I really need help with this certain situation. He's right there, you know, and being able to have your hero be that guy for you as well. That's the coolest thing in the world too.
Nice. Well, we're going to get to a couple things. You got a couple shows coming up. Before we get out of here though, we got to hit you with the countdown. Are you ready?
Okay, let's do it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We hit you with 10 questions. We hit everybody with the countdown before they get out of here. 10 to 1. We'll start off with 10. Corey Hollis, name something that's a perfect 10 in your life.
Perfect 10. My wife.
Nicely done. That's how you score points, sir.
Yep. Warren, did you hear that?
Do everything
you over.
Do everything with a purpose, son. Number 9. 9 is the German word for no. Name something you've wrote off. Name something that's no more in your life. This could be big. This could be small. This could be food. This could be negative people. Whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. I hate cheese. I don't eat cheese at all.
Wait,
anymore,
or you've always hated cheese?
I've always been that way ever since I was a little kid.
Why?
When I order pizza, I get it without cheese.
What?
Yeah, I told Conrad this, and he was like, he didn't believe me, but it's true.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's great, actually. It's protein pizza, pretty much. It's really good.
What started the aversion to cheese?
I don't know. My mom said when I was a baby, like I was just, I always puked up dairy like through crazy, but I love ice cream. I'm type 1 diabetic, but you know, but I do love ice cream, but like it's cheese and anything else really dairy, just not a big fan of. So yeah, probably cheese. That's probably what everybody thinks I'm weird about.
Cheese.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming, buddy.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Number eight, when you die, what do you want to be the last thing you ate? What's your last meal? You can mix and match. You can go home cooking mixed with restaurants, top to bottom. What you got?
Baumhauer's fried pickles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They got the best fried pickles.
What's their dipping sauce? You ranch?
Ranch.
Okay.
Yeah, ranch.
You are an Alabama boy. Like
huh?
You are What's an that? Alabama boy. I like
Probably, have you been to Walk-On's yet?
No.
They have this awesome buffalo chicken sandwich.
Where is
it? It's like the Walk-On's. It's over in Inverness now, over on 280. Next time you're in town.
The Birmingham area for everybody.
Yeah, I'll take you next time you're in town.
Bring it.
If I had a working pancreas, my mother-in-law's ice cream Oreo cake. Which is amazing.
Okay, we got so many side stories here.
Yeah,
grandmother's Oreo ice cream cake.
Did I say my grandmother? I meant my mother-in-law.
Oh, your mother-in-law's.
More bonus points.
Yeah, mother-in-law Oreo ice cream cake.
Yes,
that's strong.
It's to die for, and I might die. Might have.
That's your last meal. Might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let's go back to you having a working pancreas.
Yeah. Type 1 diabetic.
So the Oreo ice cream cake is going to put you over the edge.
That would. Might kill me twice.
Has the diabetes ever affected the wrestling?
No, not really. There was one incident in WWE where I don't want to go into specifics because it wasn't me, but it was someone else. And that like last minute, they're like, hey, you need to bring all your diabetes medication. I was like, okay, no problem. There was like this whole, like, I felt like I was being interrogated about it, and not in a bad way. I completely understand with the whole wellness policy and everything. But they're like, this all under control, right? And I was like, yeah, I've never had any instant, you know, I've never had any like bad issues with it. I've never passed out because I'm diabetic or anything else like that. It's always been something that I have always tried to manage and control. And I was diagnosed right when I was going into high school at the age of 14. So the only other type 1 diabetic I know is Kyle O'Reilly. And if we were to ever have a tag team, we would probably be sugar-free or something like that.
Sugar-free. The insulin. IWO. You need insulin world.
Insulin. I have diabetic club shirts, like the Bullet Club shirts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell them where they get those. Where can they get those?
I think Billy had them. I don't know if Billy was the one that got them.
Slide your DMs and you can find them one, right?
Yep. Slide in my DMs and I'll get my friend Billy to get them to you.
Billy.
Yeah. He's going to be so happy now.
Number seven. What'd you want to be when you were 7 years old when you grew up?
Pro wrestler.
Boom. There you go. Is there never a backup plan? I told my mom at one time I wanted to make people laugh or be a brain surgeon, and she prayed every day for brain surgeon, and it didn't work. That was one of those unanswered prayers that you always ask about.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I have a strong love for fitness, but and I also do some personal training on the side, but I mean, wrestling is my
heart. That was it. Man.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, number six. Let's go back. 6 feet under. How do you want to end up dying? How do you want to go out?
Man.
In ring?
Oh man, no. I don't want to be that story. In my sleep, old.
There you go. So, peacefully, quiet.
Yep.
No drama.
No.
Five finger discount. What's the last thing you stole?
Ooh, had to be little. I don't remember.
You got to steal stuff from hotels.
Yeah, I have. I probably stole some pillows.
Pillows is a good one too.
Who wouldn't?
Well, everybody.
I've definitely stole some towels from a hotel, and shampoo. Yeah.
Well, now you're clearing them out.
Well,
maybe a
TV.
Did you take anything from Cash's house when you crashed with him?
he gave me a bunch of shirts. He got mad at me one time. He goes, "Did you take my orange shirt?" I was like, "No, I swear I didn't take the orange shirt."
Please tell me that's the orange shirt you have on right now.
No, it's not that one. This is the Brain Busters one. It would be.
By the way, guys, I did. That's a heel move right there. All right, number four. This is going to bomb with you because you are a diabetic. I do ask the top four Little Debbies of all time. Have you even had a Little Debbie?
Yeah, of course.
Over the edge?
Yeah, I love Nutty Buddies. That counts as a Little Debbie, right?
Yeah.
Nutty Buddies. I like the Christmas cakes.
Tree cake.
Yeah, when my blood sugar is low, I'll go ham on those.
You got Star Crunch, Fudge Round, Oatmeal Cream Pie, Honey
Bun. I love oatmeal cream pies. And probably the Star Crunch.
Star Crunch.
I love chocolate and caramel. Yeah.
All right. We got you down for that. That was better than I thought you were going to do for diabetic.
What was you going to say?
I thought you weren't going to have any.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not a communist or anything.
I mean, I talked to a couple people, Bischoff and a couple other, you know, they're like, I'm not touching stuff.
Oh, that's bull. They got to be. Liars.
All right. Number three. Three albums on a deserted island. So you're not telling everybody, like, getting in an argument that these are the best albums ever. These are just, you got to listen to these forever. So they're going to never get old. These could be compilations, a live album, whatever we want it to be. Three albums on a deserted island.
Can I look real quick?
Yeah.
George Strait.
Okay, which one?
He's got a best of one.
Oh, yeah, greatest hits.
Yeah. I like the one where he's live at AT&T Stadium.
Okay.
That's one of my favorites. Lil Wayne, the Carter Four.
Carter Four is a good jam.
Yeah, yep. And last one, what was I listening to during the gym? Kid Rock, his first album.
First one.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
You got all kind of moods there. You're all over the board. I like it.
I am. What's wrong with that?
No. Number two, first concert you ever went to and last concert you ever went to?
Kenny Chesney.
Was your first?
Yeah, I was like 12 or 13. It was
parents
at that,
took you?
Yeah, my mom did at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater. It was the No Shoes, No Shirts, No Problems tour. I remember that.
Smashing it.
Yep. Last
What's
one.
First? What's the first one you went, I'm spending my own money? Do you remember?
I don't care. I'm going to this by myself. Yeah. Oh, by myself? Without my parents. Hinder and Motley Crue at the BJCC.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
That's one you got to get. I'm going by myself. All right.
And I think the last one I went to was Lee Bryce and Cadillac 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that was that right before pandemic or what?
No, that was years ago. It was like 2014, maybe.
Oh, so that Lee was young.
Yeah. I was about 24. So yeah. It was that Iron Horse.
Are you good? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's a good venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that still open?
I don't know, but why does anybody run wrestling there?
Look at you. Did you just think about it?
Why doesn't anybody run wrestling there? I'm going to call Conrad when we're done with this and be like, hey, I got an idea. So,
all right. One, I'm going to let you, you could get heat for this or okay. we can take something out and change it up. I had planned most overrated wrestler, according to Corey Hollis.
Most overrated wrestler. I think, can we go with most overrated style?
Most, whatever you want to bring heat on.
I think the biggest issue in all of wrestling right now is guys, I don't want to say they copy. I don't want to say anything like that. I want to say they don't know who they are as a performer. They don't have, there's not a lot of drive. I think a lot of people are complacent where they are. I think there's no, we've talked about this before, how I said there's not a lot of fear of respect for the business. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean but a respect for it that this is our passion. This is what we do. This is who we are. This is what we're labeled as. So let's treat it with so much pride and dignity that we can, rather than let's just go out there and say wrestling is for everyone It's for everyone to watch. It's not for everyone to participate in. Go out there and, you know, give the audience their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the biggest thing is now is everybody's too afraid to take chances. I think everybody's just too complacent.
Chances in what? Is in their character or their
character moves? Character more so than anything. And dare to be different. I think everybody follows a certain pattern, especially with their matches. I think guys think they're going to get over and become stars by what certain moves they do, but everybody does everything now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else can we do? You know, like physically, what else moves can we come up with? And there's always going to be a new move that will be, you know, come up with that will get over for years and years to come. But also at the same time, you know, like I said earlier, where are the real superstars? Who's bigger than the brands? And there's not, there's nobody. You know, now it's, and it's harder. And I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but it's harder for the performers to do that. But also at the same time is what is it and who can it be to open up that envelope and push it further and further and further like no one else has done. And it's so hard too, living in this gift world that we live in, that in the attention span of everybody having ADD now, but also at the same time, it's what's going to transcend history. What's going to make moments? There's thinking about it in the past, 10 years, 5 years, what are the really big moments that have happened in the business? You know, for me, like the biggest like shock factor, really what has really happened lately is AJ showing up at the Rumble. And that's something everybody pretty much knew was going to happen, you know, but like, other than that, what has really like moved and transcended and changed the business in such a certain way, such a big way. And you see all these people get into all these movements and everything and all that stuff. And it becomes completely out of the realm of what pro wrestling is, and people get away from what pro wrestling is. And at the end of the day, pro wrestling is all about storytelling. It's all about selling tickets. And I know we can't really sell tickets right now, but it's all about selling tickets and making stars and making moments and making memories. And it's not everybody is going to be the five-star match person. You know, and I think everybody tries so hard to be that so many other things have slipped from us finding the next big megastar.
Is it like in football where they preach the fundamentals? Is that kind of, hey, you got to do this other stuff right before we can get to where we want to go?
I don't even think it's the fundamentals anymore. It's because guys are coming in and doing all these crazy, crazy things now.
Right.
At like their first, second, you know, year in. I think, you know, like someone like MJF, he has taken that heel act and he has run with it, you know, and he's destined to become a star in the future. But who else is that? Who else can we say is like that? You know what I mean? And how can someone be that? And what's the plateau for that? What's the glass ceiling for that? You know, I just think guys are so in tune with doing this and trying to impress a small percentage of the audience rather than thinking the global big scale of everything.
Yeah.
And that's like what I was saying earlier about being a heel and like really having to commit to it is you got to live it, breathe it. And especially when you're on that red light, you know, you can't leave anything for them to get in. Cause when they feel like they're in, they feel like they are a part of it, which in a way fans are supposed to be a part of it. They're supposed to be a part of people's successes. They're supposed to be a part of that. But when they feel like they're controlling every little aspect of it, I think that's where the problem is. I really don't believe wrestling is for everyone to participate in. It's for everyone to watch, but it's not for everyone to participate in.
Who's your three favorite heels right now?
Oh man.
MJF.
MJF is great. And it's so hard to say that because there's not really
Ricky just because Starks everybody. Is good.
Yeah, I love Ricky. He's great. I think the biggest problem is now, like what I was saying earlier, is everybody's on that equal playing field. You know what I mean? Like Kenny Omega, you know, he's a heel, you know, and but like as like a dirty, dastardous heel. You know what I mean? Like MJF, Ricky, that's pretty much it. I can't see
what you're doing. Kenny.
Oh, yeah, that's Kenny. Yes, yeah. I couldn't see. I didn't know if you were doing a Hardy thing or I was like, was you doing this?
Yes.
Yeah. but no, yeah, Kenny, you know, but also at the same time, and it's so hard to judge now, like when there's crowds, they're going to cheer those people. You know what I mean? Yeah. At the same time. So it's kind of hard to say, hey, who's a heel? Cause like the perfect heel to me is someone that's going to go out there and cheat to win. Or cheat to win and not care that they cheated. FTR. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I got to say them. If Sean Spears, you know, he's great as a heel. Sean Spears is great. And see, and it's so hard for me to say that on WWE. Please don't get mad, Vince. Don't kill me. but like everybody's booked in a way right now and everybody's written in a way. Everybody is equal playing field right now. And that's the hardest part of it all. And I think once we have crowds again, it'll change a little bit. Like, I think that meter will, you know, shift a little.
I was about to say, I think that's when guys are going to start shifting a little bit.
Yeah. And I just think that, and I think they're just trying to, I don't want to say get by, but, you know, I don't think it's really hard to put in your best effort without those crowds.
If you are listening, watching this, pretty close to the time it comes out, which is February 2nd, 2021. We just came off the Rumble, which I thought was a very good Rumble.
I loved it.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I did. I watched it.
That was a very good Rumble.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones they've had in a couple of years.
Yeah, I would definitely. I don't know how far I got to go back, but I thought top to bottom. I kept trying to call spots. They swerved on me, so it was. I thought it was a very good Rumble.
Yeah, do you think Orton was going to win it at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think everybody did. Yeah.
As soon as he started walking out, I was like, well, he's your Rumble winner.
Yeah. He's
coming back at the end. So when he came out, it was like, and then it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I mean, they did a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, Christian was a huge move coming back. I mean,
was you completely surprised by the Christian spot?
Yeah, I don't read a lot of the behind the scenes stuff.
I don't think it was on. Was it on anything?
No, I didn't see anything. That's what I'm saying. But I don't.
I try to avoid it. I try to avoid it. You know, this time of year, especially. But one of my stupid friends spoiled it for me like last week, and I was and I was like, crap.
No, so, that was a good pop. That was a great. I thought Carlito was great. He looked fantastic.
He does. He looks jacked.
He goes big.
He looks jacked. And a good really jacked. Yeah.
What else are my thoughts? I thought they put over that. I thought they were definitely trying to give Damian Priest a push, and he looked good.
Yeah. I with the women's, I was thinking either Becky was going to show up or Ronda.
Yes.
But I was like, it's too early for Becky to come back after having a baby, you know? It's only been a month, right?
And I thought they did that good though.
Yeah. I thought I enjoyed it. I like Bianca. She's good. So yeah. But yeah, I love the Rumble. That's my favorite. That's my favorite time of year. Another funny story about the AJ tie-in with the Rumble and everything.
Yeah.
The night of that Rumble, I was with AJ the night before, and I was like, because we were at Ring of Honor, and I was like, so is the match going to still happen in a couple weeks? And he's like, I made sure. I was like, because he was asking me questions, because he was already asking me questions like, you know, what is it like, you know? And I was like, man, you're going to be at home. Yeah, they're like, they're going to welcome you with open arms. You know, you're going to be a star. Don't worry about that. And I'm like, just do you and be you, and you will be more than fine. And it's weird telling AJ Styles that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But but over at Skylar's house, we did a Rumble pool. Guess who drew number 3?
You're nice.
And so I was just like, it's one of those weird things, man. It's Destiny. Just like, it was just so weird. Right. So, but yeah, that's my Rumble story for that year. So, but yeah, I love the Rumble. It's so, so cool. So many stars get made, you know, it's always fun. The only thing that sucks is of course, no crowd. So it would have been great for Christian to have that moment, for Edge to have that moment.
Killer.
That was a thing that me and Cash talked about last year. Edge coming back and then wrestling in front of nobody for WrestleMania. I was like, man, I was like, because him and Edge are really close. And I was like, I was like, I hate it for him. He goes, yeah, me too. But, you know, I think he's just at this point happy to be back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's crazy. That was almost a year ago, man. That
yeah,
was,
right? Yeah. Wow. Are you going to Tampa?
I don't know if I'm going to make Tampa.
I don't know either. I haven't decided yet.
My wife does not want me to go to Tampa.
Oh, really? Are you going to be at Hard Rock?
I don't know. I don't have plans for anything yet, but yeah. You never know.
Well, every time I go to Tampa, I got to go to Hard Rock, and I'll probably play some roulette.
Well, don't get me started on a casino. That's trouble for me.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you for coming in here, dude. I had a blast. Finally good to hook up with you. And,
yeah, man.
Can't wait to see you in ring again. And if everybody, again, listening to this, pretty close to time it comes out, you actually got something coming up.
Yeah, this Friday at Canton, Georgia, Southern Honor Wrestling. I think we're presenting our 22nd or 23rd show. Me and my tag partner, Michael Judas, who used to be Murphy in TNA, will be taking on the Lynch Mob for the tag team titles. And then that show is really near and dear to my heart. I got to have a lot of cool moments there. I got powerbombed through the ring in a War Games match.
Okay, strong.
Yeah, I've tore the ring apart, pile drove the guy that I was feuding with's wife on the boards. Very ECW moment.
Wait,
that
pile drove the wife?
Yeah, pile drove his wife straight onto the boards.
Nice. Take it like a champ?
Yeah, she did. And I told her, I was like, I've done plenty of pile drivers. That's my first one.
Out on the apron? You know that's the hardest part of the ring.
I know. Well, there was no mat. Tore the mat apart. Tore the canvas apart. It was just – so all you saw was the boards and did it straight in the middle. So, yeah. That's a cool show too because I got to be a part of Jericho and Kenny Omega showed up there right before AEW started and got to be a part of that big old brawl, and that was fun. I have a lot of fun at this show, Southern Honor Wrestling. It's something I'm very proud of. Not just in the ring, but behind the scenes. I've had a lot of cool moments there, and it's my favorite place to be right now.
I gotta ask. I need to see if you've got wins over any of my previous guests. Do you? Have you ever been in the ring with Cody?
I've interfered in a match, and I took a disaster kick from him. So yeah.
Cabana Man Dan.
I think we've been in some rumbles together. Probably thrown him out. Yeah.
Mance? Old Mancer?
No, I don't even think I've ever met Mance.
What?
I don't think me and Mance have been in the opportunity of ever meet.
We gotta make that happen.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever met him.
Well, don't ask old Mancer. He don't remember who he's wrestling.
I don't. Yeah, me neither sometimes. I'm the same way. CTE is very real.
Just ask the wife that you gave a pile driver to.
Yep.
All right, dude. Tell them how they can follow you on social media.
I'm on Twitter at Corey Hollis. I'm on Instagram. I think it's at CHollis3. Not on Facebook, but I have Twitter and Instagram. And if you tweet me, I will probably say something mean right back to you. Because I don't
perfectly
like
done. Go find him, slide in the DMs, get you a Diabetic Club shirt.
Diabetic Club shirt. I have a pro wrestling tees store.
That's what we need.
Yep.
At just Corey Hollis.
Yep. Just Corey Hollis on pro wrestling tees. I think I got four or five shirts on there. So
there you go.
There you go.
Go get some merch from the man. Thank you, dude. Been a blast. You, I can't wait to see you again, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Adios, muchachos.
I don't speak Spanish.
Keeping it 100 with Conan, the mighty, mighty DI. and JoJo, the Philly entrepreneur. What it do? Boom.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Let's start up how we always do with the shout outs, who's listening to us and from where. Yo, if I butcher it, if I butcher your name or your city, it's the Iranian accent. Boom. Did I just read that Scott Steiner shut down a Shoney's?
Yeah.
For COVID?
This one that he had.
Georgia, I think.
Georgia,
it was.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, due to COVID, he shut it down.
Wow. Cassio from Huntsville, Alabama.
Who is that? Okay. Cassio from Huntsville?
Yeah, Huntsville, Alabama.
That's probably Cassio Kid, Conrad's boy. He does comedy and a podcast, believe it or not. So, yeah. What's up, all Cassio? Right.
Boom.